I find this fascinating. These guys who are fishing, they've been doing this their whole life. They're out there and Jesus goes, hey, follow me. But there's something about that moment where they know that they just got to do it. Their life will change forever by saying yes to the follow me. Can you imagine if they just went, nope, got some fish to catch. I got some bills to pay. I've got a friend's birthday to go to. I'm washing my hair. But they just go, yes. And we hear their stories and we still talk about their stories today because they say, yes, to follow me. You know, for over 2,000 years plus since Jesus left this earth, people have sought to know what it truly means to follow him. You know, I know the prayer for Beck and I and for this church this year is to see our church respond with the actioned yes to when Jesus says, follow me. Just follow me. We want you to say yes. You know, and as leaders of this church, you might go, oh, do you want us to follow you as? Like, you know, do we all get scooters? Like, what do we do? No, don't do that. It's not about following us, it's about following Jesus. We'll do our best job to set an example, but please follow Jesus. Kate Davis, she's like, I'm getting a scooter. You want a gang? Yeah, okay, good. I'm going to terrorize the community. But here's the thing, just follow Jesus. That's what we want. And so what I want to do over the next few weeks is actually set us up to be able to follow Jesus this year. How do you follow Jesus? A man that was around 2,000 years ago, it's kind of quite an odd thing, isn't it? That we're still talking about following a man who left earth, who rose from the dead, from being crucified. That's an amazing thing in itself. He's like, I'm going away, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. We talked about it before, you need the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing, he's still saying, follow me. How the heck do I follow a Jewish teacher from 2,000 years ago? How do I do it in 2022? And you know, last year you would have heard Beck and I and anyone who was on this platform multiple times say this, hey, pick up your Bible, read it. Anyone ever hear that last year? If you didn't, you haven't been here, okay? Or you don't listen to me either, so we're done, okay? So, but here's the thing, we talk about the Bible a lot, and we challenge you constantly to read it, but I think sometimes we don't know how to. You know, and at the end of the day, this book right here is a guidepost, it's a light, a life map, a key to showing us how to do exactly what Jesus asked us to do, and that's follow him. Gives us the way to do it. And if you don't know where to start, we actually want to start today by giving you some insight on how to do it this year. Who's ever started reading their Bible at the start of a new year? Who's kind of done by about January 4? Okay. Kev. Kev's like, yep, dusty old Bible. It's all right, we're all guilty of it. But I really hope that this year, like never before, our people read their Bible. And so we want to give some insight. You know, if you don't know much about this book, it was written by over 40 authors, written over a span of about 4,000 years of history. There's about 185 songs in here and hymns. So if you like songs, just start singing some of the words. Try and find the songs, though. It'll get really weird. Okay? It's been written by farmers, fishermen, a tent maker, homeless prophets, a doctor, professional scribes, vocational musicians, pastors. Royalty wrote some of this as well. You know, there's so much in this and so important. If you don't know when this got put together, about 400 years AD, this got put together. 66 books that we still know bring life into those that are prepared to open it. You probably got one dusty lying around. Maybe you stole one from a motel. Bill? No? I reckon you'd do that kind of thing, but a little larrikin. You know, Paul writes, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why? So that the servant of God, that's us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You actually be prepared. And so it's really important. And so what we actually want to do is give you guys a bit of insight into some people in our church that read their Bible. Well, I hope they do. No, they do, all right? I'm actually going to invite up on stage right now Kate Davis, all right? And then also John Backhouse. So give them a round of applause. They're going to come up here. we're going to have a bit of a chat. Because I can tell you how I read my Bible. I'll just leave it here. I can tell you how I read my Bible. But I actually want to hear from other people. And I want you to take away some tips from these. Just bring in the couch. I love we're bringing in a plastic plant. Perfect. Nothing says gardening 2022 like a plastic plant. Okay? Perfect. Yep. Yeah, that's good. All right, you guys sit there. So we're going to actually talk about this because I know for myself, over the years, I've found it really interesting and an interesting thing reading the Bible. How are you guys going? John, you got your microphone on? Try it. 1, 2, testing.
1, 2.
Yes, there we go. Kate, you're on?
No.
Take mine for a second so you can talk to people.
Good morning.
So rubbish. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's good. We'll just do this. So the thing is, with the Bible, who actually reads their Bible regularly? Throw up your hand if you do. Well, we've got some people that read the Bible. That's good. Okay, when I say regularly, I mean more than once a year. Okay? So, okay. Now there's two people with their hands up. Great. Some of you are reading it right now to be able to put up your hand. Right? Okay, righto. But the Bible's a funny thing, isn't it? And I know that, you know, when I was a kid, my favorite thing to do, because I had no idea what to do with the Bible, and my parents were like, you got to read the Bible, I'd go, God, give me a word. And the word of the Lord said, my dove, in the clefts of a rock, in the crevices of a cliff, let me see your face. Lord, is that you? All right, so you know what I mean? Like, this is sort of the extent of my reading, and maybe you've done that too. You're like, God, just give me something. It's almost like, you actually read the Bible a little bit like you read your star signs and stuff like that. And I'm just like, and you know, I just want to say, you don't need all that other crap. You don't need all the star signs. You don't need all you need is this. It's all you need. God wants to guide you through it, okay? And so what I want to do is actually want to talk to these two legends of the church. This is Kate.
Good morning.
This is John.
Good morning.
And if you don't know Kate, she's got three kids.
I do. I have three little children up in Kids Church.
How old are they?
I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 18-month-old.
So she's got all the time in the world to read the Bible.
Heaps
That's
of
great.
Time. Yeah.
She also runs her own business.
I do. I run my own business.
Okay. So just first and foremost, Kate, because obviously the Bible is very important to you, and I know that you're someone that gets into it. How do you even find some time to open the Bible?
It's tricky, to be honest. It's not smooth. I'm not someone that is committed at getting up at 5 a.m. and cracking out my Bible time, even though it sounds amazing and the sunrise times, it's just not reality for my life. If I waited for the perfect moment, it would never happen. So I get my kids involved. I let them scribble through my journal. If anyone sees my journal, it's more drawings than it is words because they're with me. I'm a highlighter. I'm a writer. I love to scribble in my Bible and jot notes down. So they have to be around me when I'm doing it. And I love that because they get to see that this is what life looks like for me. And I have to do it in the midst of the chaos. I leave it open on my kitchen bench. And it might mean that I only get to read a verse every couple of hours, but it's there. I find if it's closed, I don't pick it up. But if I've got it open in the middle of the crazy, hectic day, I'll grab bits as I go. And it tops me up.
It's an interesting thought. It tops me up. It keeps you going. But tell us, how's it so important to you? Like, why is it so important to you for you to read the Bible?
I'm known for being a little bit of a perfectionist. And so I'd always want to sit there and get it right. Like, I'd have a devotion plan. I'd go to Coorong and buy the cool plan that told me what to do. And then I'd get a day behind. I'd get 2 days behind, 3 days behind. And the weight of that having to catch up was always too much that I'd end up just giving up. And so I wasn't getting this feel from the Bible. And I heard a sermon a few years ago that a Christian company had done a study on people who read their Bibles. And it hit me so strongly because the difference between 1 day, 2 days, 3 days wasn't really big on how much it impacted people's lives. But as soon as it hit the fourth day, it transformed their life. Addiction dropped. Anxiety dropped, depression dropped. It was this transformation in their lives. And I was like, I want that. I want to live a transformed life. I don't want to just live because I'm told to read the Bible. I want to be transformed. So I kind of tested it out. And I'm not very good at getting it right every time, but I learned what it means. Once I hit that 4 days a week, it did transform. All of those stresses, all those little nigglings that I would think about in the morning and I'd wake up in the shower, just drifted away. And I was focusing on what he was saying was true as opposed to all this stress and anxiety and the pressure of my kids are driving me insane and I need a coffee and all of this kind of stuff would start to drift away and not be so ever present in my mind because I was pressing into the Lord and it just made a massive difference.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's so good. And like what I love about that too, I actually remember that study. It was around a couple of years ago. And the same study was talking about, yeah, once you hit 4 days, actually for marriages, breakdown in marriage completely dissipated 4 days in, which is quite interesting. Just being in the Word of God and actually going, God, I put you first. Just the strengthening of marriages. I remember there was a massive study on it.
It's a huge study,
which was pretty cool. Now, you mentioned that you highlight stuff. People have the real thing, okay? People, that's the real thing. Who has a Bible app? Who has a YouVersion Bible app? Who reads the Bible verse of the day? Everyone read the Bible verse of the day? I actually loved it this morning. I woke up. And who read the Bible verse of the day today? Because we'd already planned this, and I kind of was like, oh, the Bible verse of the day is that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm like, we're right on track here. Okay, that's really cool. But it's so interesting. Like, if you don't have it, download on your app, but download the app, the YouVersion Bible app. And if you're someone who doesn't like to read, I learned this a long time ago, because, see, I used to do book, like when I used to do book reviews at school, and this is for the teenagers here, who's doing book reviews? Doing book reviews still? Read a book, write what it's about? No, because you don't have books anymore. Anyway, so, but I used to do book reviews on Garfield comics and make up the storyline, okay? Because I hated reading. Like, I just hate reading. And so I discovered this a few years ago. You can open anything in your Bible app, and you can just hit play, and it will just read it to you. Yeah.
If you do, pro tip, mums, do it when you're hanging out the washing. You don't hear the kids. That's when I pop my pods in, listen to the Bible.
Listen to the Bible. It'll just read it to you.
Yeah.
And it's like a really serious voice. Yes, and the word of the Lord. And you're like, oh, God. All right. And so, but there's really cool ways that you can actually get into the word. And as you said, you scribble. Do you actually write notes as well in regards to the scribbling or back on the page as well around the stick men drawings from the kids?
I do, but I also sometimes don't. I've had to teach myself to take the pressure off, that there's no right or wrong way to do it, and the reality is that no one was watching me. So it didn't matter if it was messy, but it, even though it used to bother me, it doesn't matter if I don't jot a note down, but it's okay if I do. So I've learned to just go with the flow a little bit more and not put this rigid, structured pressure on myself that, yes, I want to write a note. If I don't get to today, it's okay.
Absolutely. I actually had a friend years ago who came to Christ, like she became a Christian in one moment. She had this, and she decided, I've got to read the Bible, and she read it from start to finish in a week. And I said, wow. And she goes, doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot in that, right? And she goes, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, you read the whole thing in a week, right? A lot of people probably don't even get through the whole thing in their whole lifetime, and there's stuff in there that we'll be asking questions until we die. And so you really do need the Holy Spirit. You need to be praying before you read.
Yes.
God, reveal to me what you want to say. So, you know, if you're going to pick up the Bible this year, don't just go, oh, whatever, and just, you know, read something from Leviticus and go, I can't eat shellfish anymore, and I better not cut my hair. You know, so, like, you've got to understand the context and actually do a little bit of research. The beautiful thing about this church is that we do have some grey nomads over here, the silver foxes of the world, and John. And, like, we've got this amazing church where we've got the elders in our church. They have read this for a long time. And so if you're younger and you don't understand, go find them and just hit them hard. What does this mean, right? If they say, I don't know, just say, oh, I thought you were supposed to read the Bible. Anyway, so no. But the thing is, you know, we've got knowledge in this place to learn together. Don't get put off by a moment where you read in the Bible, go, I don't understand it, therefore I can't get this. And so one of the things, yeah, if you can turn, I know for me, my grandparents were that when I grew up, growing up, my pa, I turned to him. And I want to talk to John right now because, John, you've been reading your Bible for a good amount of time now, haven't you?
Yeah, I actually gave my life to the Lord the first time in about the middle of the last century. Back at a
how good is that, hey?
A Billy Graham crusade in Brisbane. I was at a boarding school in Warwick, and they sent a busload of us down to the listen to Dr. Billy Graham, and I went forward and gave my life to him, but there was no follow-up to it, and consequently nothing much happened, but the Holy Spirit was on my tail the whole time. And later on, in about the 70s, I think it was, I went to a crusade meeting in Milmerran, in a country town in Queensland, not far from where we lived. And they had this speaker there who was a rugby league football player, and he'd become a Christian, and he came and he was speaking. And I went along to listen to him, and along with my family, and we did have other motivations for that, because at that particular time my sister and brother-in-law were going through some marriage problems, and we thought, well, Jesus would be the solution for their problems, which he would have been. And we took them along. I went forward, they didn't, and it was from then on that I got a real hunger for the Word of God. And sometime later, we had an old King James Bible at home, and I could not make any sense of that at all. So one day when I was in town, I went to a bookshop, and I found a Good News Bible, and I thought, I read a few of the passages that I'd tried to read in the old King James, and oh gee, this makes sense. So I bought it, and we took it home, and my wife and I began to read it, and we would, you know, she would read it, I would read it, and then we'd talk about it and sort of say, well, what do you think it means? And you know, it became a bit of a Bible study, not that we knew too much, but it was the beginnings of something far better and greater. And, yeah, that's where I started. And I don't have a regular pattern for reading the Bible, like you can get an organised reading program, but what I tend to like to do is to take a book of the Bible, and I like to be sort of active in the situation, so I like to know the history of when it was written, who wrote it, and the circumstances around those times. And that way I feel I can be part of it. And as I read it then, it means something to me. And it also, I ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, reveal to me what, you know, how can I put this into my own life and help me in my walk with the Lord. And so I'm not saying that happens on a regular basis, but I try to read something where it might not be a full book of the Bible or anything, but I read part of it, or maybe I have two study Bibles that I refer to, and I find them a very great help, because you've got experts giving you advice and their interpretation of a scripture.
Can you explain a bit more? If you don't know what a study Bible is, you're like, I don't know what that is. I've just got this Bible. How do I get the super Bible that John's talking about? There are these study Bibles which, yeah, they have like, sort of explain what a study Bible is. So you're reading it.
A study Bible's usually one written by some guy who a pastor or a Bible teacher. And at the bottom of the pages, there are footnotes on specific verses in the Bible that are relevant to what they're talking about. And one of the things I did was taught early in my Christian walk was that if you can't understand what the word is saying or the meaning to it, sometimes if you read the passages before it and the passages after it, you will get the revelation of what it's talking about. And as you get to know and understand what God is saying, it becomes such a passionate thing that you can't resist but read it. And you want to keep reading it, you know, and you'll read it over again. And sometimes, you know, you can read the same passage two or three times and get three different interpretations of what the Lord's saying to you. And I find that is very encouraging. And so I would encourage everyone to have a love affair with your Bible, because, you know, Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to reflect his life. And if our life is not right, well, you know, we're giving a wrong reflection. And I don't want to be a part of that. And so, you know, my lifestyle should reflect what I believe. And that's what I endeavour and try to do. I don't say I totally succeed in that area, but I'm trying hard.
That's so good, John. And I was I may have got a sneaky bit of insight into John's reading as well. I was talking to Marion just before. She goes, oh, yeah, he writes out everything. You've written out the book of Romans. You write out the book of Romans. Is that correct? You journal?
Yeah, well, I have written out the book of Romans, and I believe that Romans is a very crucial and important book in the Bible with relation to our salvation and the way we should lead our life. And when I was at school, the one thing I did learn was the teacher told me, if you want to remember something, write it down. And so I've tended to do that with this particular book. And I do make notes from time to time. I'm not good at doing that, but when God speaks to me and I get a revelation out of a certain passage of Scripture, I'll write down what I feel God's saying to me. And sometimes when I go back and reread that, I find, oh, yeah, I think he's saying something else now. So, but that can happen. Don't feel that that's, you know, you've missed him or anything like that. For that particular time and purpose, that's what he was saying. And then you go the next time he might be trying to teach you something different. So there's all good things come out of the Bible.
Now, is there any, it's so good, and is there any sort of, for both of you, do you have like a bit of a structure on maybe if you do, do you do any journaling or anything like that? Do you have a structure? Have you ever found something really helpful for you as you're reading it or where you go?
So I do a Bible reading plan. So I have 1,001 little bookmarks. But the main reason that I have it set up that way is I want to make it easy. I don't want to be looking through my phone to find where I last finished off or find my notes. I just want to be able to open my Bible and make it really easy. So for me, it was really practical to set my Bible up to make that process easy, to just be able to go where I want to go to. So I do, there's a pastor in the Hillsong Church called Robert Ferguson, and he's done up a reading plan. And so I follow his reading plan. I love it because it gives me variety. I also find that if I'm reading the same thing, you know, you open up your Bible, I'm going to start at Genesis and, you know, January 4, you're over it because it's the same thing over and over again. So I really like the fact that I'm reading a different Bible book each day. And if I miss it, it's okay. I'll pick that one up next week. So I find it gives me a lot of freedom. I will say on a practical tip, and for me, I'm a visual learner, so I love the idea of actually reading and looking at the text. But choose a Bible that you want to hold, that you like. Spend time finding a translation that speaks to you, that you find easy to read, and then go and flick through a heap of them because you want to pick it up. Like, I want my Bible with me because it's a beautiful thing to hold. I love reading it. I want to pick it up. I want to be able to throw it in my car, and I've got 10 minutes before school, pick up and read it then. If it's a big brick that I don't particularly like, I'm not going to take it with me.
That looks pretty big. How big are the bricks you're thinking of?
Yeah, but, you know, like, I've got to have room for my notes, right? So, right, yeah. But, yeah, have one that you want to pick up. Yeah. If it's clunky or it's too small to read the text, you won't pick it up. And I probably have too many Bibles in our home because we've done that whole, oh, I don't really like this one and I don't like that one. But find the one that works for you because it'll make a difference.
And that might be confusing to some people. They're like, what do you mean you like that one and you don't like that one? Like, does one,
I don't like,
does
the
one read like Harry Potter and the other one reads like Lord of the Rings? Like, no, it's just that, it's just a different language, the English language.
And so, yes, it's translation. Like, for me, I love ESV and the Passion Translation. So I think the Bible app's amazing because I can look it up on multiple different translations and I'll sit on a verse and I want to read it different ways and see what I can draw out of it and what God's telling me about it. But again, I like it to look pretty. I want text that's nice and easy to read, not tiny things. It's not what works for me.
Yep.
But some people might love a pocket or a thin, skinny one. Like, I want to encourage you to find what feels comfortable, because you're not going to read it if it feels difficult to open it up and read that text.
Yep, that's good. John, do you like pretty letters as well? Is that why you got yours? Or?
Yeah, I tend not to write a lot of notes, but I have one Bible that I really love, and I've got, it's all falling apart, but I've stuck it up with tape and all sorts of things to hold it together, because I feel if there's anything I want to find, I just know exactly where to go and look for it. And, you know, it's. I think it'll last as long as I do anyway, so that's all good.
I think when we first got married, Beck gave me this beautiful Bible, and she's probably still dirty at me about this, but I've had a bit of a history where I've given my Bibles away to people, and I'll be highlighting for about a year and writing stuff down, and I'll meet some random or, you know, a hitchhiker or whatever, and I'll be like, here, have my Bible, and I gave it away, and I forgot it was a beautiful gift. She's like, you gave away your Bible. I said, yep, someone's out there with a love letter at the start of it. It's beautiful. So it's nice. Dear Az, you gorgeous man. Anyway, so... But I do want to give some more practical stuff too. If you're wanting to start this year and you're like, well, how do I start? A couple of tips that I got in my teen years and I still use them. Just being in the Word in some capacity is really important. You know, you can have the Bible app on your phone and just read the scripture of the day. The only downside of those scripture of the day is it's like snacking. They're always encouragements. But as I mentioned in Timothy, it's actually more, it's actually about correction. It's about bringing about change in your life. And if you just snack all day on stuff that's just going to make you feel good, you might as well just go and buy an encouragement book from the self-help aisle. Right? Like, oh, I just need to feel good. Just give me a feel good moment. And you're snacking all day, but you never ever get to the meat. It's actually when you start reading a little bit further, you go a bit deeper in your word, when you actually pick up a book of the Bible, maybe like Romans, and actually start reading something from the beginning. And, you know, I know for myself over the years, definitely don't always get it right. And sometimes I look back at stuff and go, oh my gosh, I got that so wrong. But it's just being in the Word of God is so important. And so when I was in my teen years, God advised to me, hey, Az, if you're not very good at reading, you don't like reading much, you do need wisdom because you're a young man. You need wisdom. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom and everything else got added to his life. So you need wisdom. And Solomon wrote the Proverbs, right? A lot of the Proverbs. And so my challenge was given that there's 31 chapters in the Proverbs. Read a proverb every day, whatever the date is of the month. Just read that proverb. And I've been reading the Proverbs ever since I was 15. And every year without fail. And if you miss a day in the month, don't worry about it. Just pick up on the date and do it again. You know, it's a starting point. These are the starting points. Another thing that I got taught, which I think is really important. Did you ever hear the soap principle of reading the Bible?
Yes, there's a book on
it. I feel like it was like a mid-90s thing.
It was a 90s thing.
Bring back the 90s, right? Sorry, guys. You're like, oh, what? Okay. So this was something that was really big, but actually really helped me, and it still helps me. If you're someone who's trying to process the Word of God, you're opening the Bible, you go, I don't know where to start, I don't know what to do. So there was this soap principle. I've got this up here. So soap, it was like so corny. Remember everything was like...
WWJD.
Yeah, what would Jesus do? So soap stood for scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And I suppose soap is to wash you or something. You know, keep you clean. But so scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So when you read a scripture... You write it down, it stands out to you, you might open your Bible and something really speaks to you, it just sort of stands out off the page. You read it, it stops, write down the scripture, write down an observation of that scripture. What do you observe about it? What is this? Why has it stood out to you? And then write an application, how you're going to apply that to your own life, and then write down a prayer of, you know, what you're going to do with that. And I literally started this in my teen years and I've actually got an old journal, all right? This is from my teen years, okay? You want to hear some really deep stuff from Az in his teens?
Let's go.
This is woeful, okay? But at the same time, I love it. Because I can... So what I do is every day, I would date things. 28th of the 7th, okay, in 95, okay, and then in the early 2000s. And so I would write something like this, you know, Isaiah 53:4. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And I've written an observation. Jesus died for every wrongdoing in our lives. He also did it so we could have peace and healing. And then later on, I've written down verse 10. It pleased the Lord to see because of the great outcome. And then I've written an observation. God saw the outcome. He saw the success. He saw the victory. No pain, no gain. Teenage as. Jesus, help me see the victory. Let me see the past tests and trials that I might continue to lay down my life for you daily, just like you did for me. Wow. And so there's pages and pages and pages of as, and I look back at it and go, God, you were speaking to me in my teen years. And I did find one that was just hilarious, and it's such an insight, and Beck's going to cringe because I read it to her and she was cracking up, and I'm like, I don't even know what happened here, but literally, I want to read this out loud. I don't know. Let's just say, I've got to find it now. I should have highlighted. It's just me saying, literally, I was in love with a girl, apparently. And, oh my gosh, she's even a Christian, but she doesn't even like me and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, you can find it, guys. And so, and it's like, God help me. I'll wait for the right one. You're welcome, Beck. Okay, TNL Jazz. But it's so awkward in a weird way, but there's actually something so beautiful about going, God spoke to me in my teen years and I wrote it down, so I'll never forget. I'll never forget it. No one's going to read this later. I'm going to hide that because it's very personal. But I just want to challenge you, maybe do that. Go get a book, write down, so, scripture, observation, application and prayer. You know, because every time you pick up the Bible, God is strengthening you, he's teaching you, he's guiding you. I look back over that. I mean, this is, we're talking like 22 years ago. And look where we are. And so these sort of things are really powerful, you know. And so I just want to challenge us all as we go into this year to get established in the Word. Start with something. If you don't understand something, we live in a great world called Google, all right? If I don't understand something, I just Google the passage and find, like John said, someone who knows way more than me, a biblical scholar, someone who has studied it, understands the history, and I will look into it and go, now I understand, because I've gone searching deeper than just going, well, that doesn't make any sense, next. And it will grow you in your faith. And, you know, as I said, you know, our prayer, Beck and I, we want to see at the end of this year, you guys closer to Jesus. You know, we don't want you just coming and having an experience of God through worship or whatever, but we want you to go away and go, I've become more like Jesus because I actually know his word. I actually know what he's all about, you know, and it will actually be an anchor to your soul, be an anchor. You know, especially for you young guys, right? I just want to quickly speak to the young people. The young people of today. You young guys, really, if you get this word in your spirit, it will hold you through your teen years, your young adult years, and you won't make dumb decisions. Yeah. You know, the Proverbs, like when it comes to relationships and how you deal with your sexuality, how you deal with finance, how you do family. You know, if you want the best, go to the best source. And, you know, you've got to start now. Start now. Don't wait till one day when I'm an adult. And for you, maybe you missed that in your teen years and you've never actually picked up your Bible. You've been in church for 15, 20 years maybe. You've actually never got into the Word. Can I encourage you? 2022 is your year. 2022 is your year. Don't be embarrassed. Find someone who knows more. Go and seek someone to mentor you, to help you read the Bible. You know, people go, well, where do I start? The Psalms are always great because it's very in tune with our humanness. David understood it, but also the Proverbs for wisdom. And we're talking about following Jesus. How do we know how to follow Jesus? We need to know what Jesus did. So maybe read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus, And so start there and just keep on growing in your year. I think that's fantastic. Can we give these guys a round of applause? Thanks, guys. Well, hopefully that's been helpful. Has it been helpful? Encourage you this week, either download the YouVersion Bible app, that's Y-O-U Version Bible app. Go down to Coorong, down in Springwood. There's a Christian bookshop. It hasn't changed in 20 years. It's sort of a bit weird. It's a bit of a time warp sometimes. But it's great because there's all these different versions of the Bible that they talked about. Find a Bible that you love. If you don't have a Bible, you want a free Bible, we actually have Bibles out at the Next Steps area. And we want to give you a real Bible, one that you can scribble all over, get your kids to draw stick men on, highlight, do whatever you need to do. But what we want more than ever is to help you this year draw closer to God. Draw closer to God so you know what it means to follow Jesus. Well, I reckon we're going to wrap up for today. If you have any more questions, you can do that. The other thing I also want to mention as we head into the new year with the Next Steps area, if you don't receive any information or like maybe you came at 8 o'clock this morning, you're like, what? Because you didn't get the text or the email. Maybe you're not on our database. Maybe you haven't actually filled out a red card. And that red card just helps you or helps us connect with you to make sure we can fill you in on what's going on in the church throughout 2022. And we want to make sure that everyone feels that they're part of this community this year. So make sure you do that. You can get one of those out at the Next Steps area as well. Before we wrap up and go out in a great song and you can have a fantastic Sunday, I just want to pray for us. Is that all right? Just bow our heads. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we can learn together as a community. We can seek you more in 2022. God, may you give us a heart to be passionate about your word. God, for some of us, we haven't picked up the Bible in a very long time and we've just been snacking on little encouragements. God, I pray that we go deeper this year. May you transform us like Kate talked about, 4 days a week. It's something about that transformation. God, we don't want to read the Bible out of religious duty. We want to read the Bible because we want to know you in a personal way and we want to be transformed into the people that you would have us be. God, I pray that you help us this year as we seek you in everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.